Got some notes somewhere. So most grateful to Dave, who's put together a little PowerPoint of the scriptures so we can read together in a few minutes' time. But I thought I'd just go back to the old style. That's me. I thought perhaps I wouldn't make such a mess of it as I do with PowerPoint. Our title for this series, this mini series, is Passion and Purpose. And we've heard on love, and last week Dave gave us a great talk on forgiveness. And this week I'm speaking on wholeness. But if you'll forgive me, I'm not going to use that as my title, Experience Ultimate Wholeness. Because putting my theological hat on, I would say that to do that, talk to you about ultimate wholeness, I would have had to died and gone to glory, or Jesus would have returned. So I've given myself a new title, which is here. You can see it at the back. Living in the wholeness. Can you see that? Living in the wholeness that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I shall want to look at with you under three headings. One, what is the wholeness that is ours in Christ Jesus? And then look at some of the hindrances to living in the wholeness. And then some helps to living in the wholeness. And then we'll gather it together and pray for one another at the conclusion. Now let's have our reading from Romans and chapter 8. Oh, it's up here. Life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you've got to believe this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Have you got it? We are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And further on in Romans chapter 8 it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, even in difficult jobs, who are called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. More than conquerors. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Written initially by Paul under God's leading for the Ephesians. But God wants us to get a grip of that today. That's to us. Who we are in Christ Jesus. The wholeness that is ours because of Jesus. Wholeness. I've bent these up special on the other side. Looking up the Collins Dictionary for the word wholeness. It is the state of being whole. It is entire. It is complete. It is a totality. Wholeness. What we have in Christ Jesus. Also, I didn't draw it all up, but next to wholeness, we've got wholehearted. We should be wholehearted as Christians. We should be sincere. We should be zealous. We should be enthusiastic. And then wholesome, tending to promote health, healthy, salutary, nourishing, beneficial. Are you nourishing and beneficial? Wholeness. What is the wholeness that is ours in Christ Jesus? It's a package. We're born again. It's new life in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters. We've been born into a family by the Spirit of God. We are born again. And as we know, that's not just something that the Americans talk about, being born again. Used to be a lot, the Americans. But the first person who said it was Jesus. Do you remember? He said, you must be born again. Are you born again? Amen? Amen. And then, redeemed. That's not a word we use these days. Not many of us go down the pawnbroker, I don't think, and put something in to get a bit of cash to help us out, and then we pay it back, and when we paid it back, we can redeem back that which we took to the pawnbrokers. Or in the olden days, when they got nothing to pay and they were owed great debts, then they would sadly have to give a son to go to be a servant of somebody. And then there would be the occasion when they had got the money to pay the debt and they could redeem back their son or daughter, or servant, whatever. Jesus has redeemed us. We have been redeemed, not with silver and gold, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We have been redeemed. But not only that, we've been justified. And I'm not a theologian, so I like the little term, just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that fantastic? Just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God Father sees me. And I know what I've been like. that he sees me just as if I'd never sinned. And you too. Justified. Glorified. Oh, what does that mean? So I had to look up the old dictionary, get a bit of help on that one. Well, what it means is to honour or to reveal the character of. So that Jesus could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So that Jesus personified the Godhead Father. And wow, we are told that we are glorified. Wow. That's a tough one to take, isn't it? But that's what we've got to believe it. We've been glorified. That's part of our job, you know. People have got to see us and see Jesus in us. I must admit, I can only recall one occasion when I was in Malta. I may have mentioned it before. I was in Malta and I went to a meeting in a hospital, and the representative of the Red Cross Association, I think he came at that time, he came from Holland. I wasn't even looking, but I knew when he came in the room and I met him. He's just an ordinary guy. But you know, I thought, wow, that man is like Jesus. And whether you know it or not, as Christ ones, the world knows it. Liz is going through a tough time. But those who don't know Jesus are going to see something in Liz, because she's going to honour Jesus just by the way we live. Be encouraged. We are God's sons. We've been glorified. And the other thing, sanctified. Not a word we use in everyday language, is it? And it wasn't one that came up in our Bible reading, you might have noted. But Paul used it when he was writing to the Corinthians. He said, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So those of you who study theology will understand the word Gruden. Gruden's theology, big thick book. This is what he says about sanctification. It's a definite moral change that occurs in our lives at conversion. Once born again, we do not, cannot continue to sin as a habit or pattern of life, because the new spiritual life within us keeps us from yielding to a life of sin. But unlike redemption, justification and salvation, which are once for all, the New Testament speaks about a definite beginning to sanctification at conversion. But it also sees it as a process that continues through our Christian lives. But we've got to realize we are no longer sinners. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, we are called to be saints. And I wish I had now. I was so longing to tell your pal last week. He was sitting there, head bowed. And I knew he was feeling such a sinner. And I thought, bless him, he needs to know, although he's been a sinner, he is now a saint. We need to tell ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus. We're born again. We are redeemed. We're justified, we're glorified, we are sanctified, and we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us fruit. Now what about what does fruit do? It grows, doesn't it? It doesn't suddenly appear. Those of you who've given those seeds yesterday to the kids, put in those little pots, there won't be fruit today or tomorrow, or a flower, will there? It's got to grow and mature. So the Holy Spirit is just, we're being justified by the Spirit of God. So the fruit of the Spirit in our lives should be gradually seen more and more. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, patience, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. And the Lord helps us. And you know what, I just want to remind you, while I was preparing for this, I always remember what Billy Graham said. When you point the finger at other people, you're pointing through at yourself. So I'm challenged as I speak to you today about the wholeness that's in Christ Jesus, keeping myself in it. It's a package. You've got to believe it. It's yours in Christ Jesus. We're sons and daughters. And as we were told, we're also heirs. There's an inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. I suppose a good example, of course, is a baby in a family. Baby's born in a family. There it is, lovely little boy or girl. It's got all the DNA of the family. But it needs to be nurtured and disciplined as it grows. And as it grows, you can see it's just like mum or it's just like dad. And it grows to maturity. And you see the family likeness. We are growing in maturity so that more and more we're like Jesus. Amen? We've got to believe it. We've got to live in the good of it. Amen? Even on Monday morning, believe it. 1 Corinthians says, in Him, Jesus, you have been enriched in every way, in your speaking, in your knowledge. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You've got to believe it. Amen? Wholeness. All I want to say is hallelujah. What a Saviour. He's worthy of it all. Hindrances to wholeness. Hindrances to living in the wholeness. Just a few. Denominations, no scriptures, loss of first love, the world, the flesh and the devil. What do I mean by denominations? I'm just rereading a book. It's good to read these Christian books. They stir you up and get you enthusiastic again. As I say, I need a kick up the backside from time to time, you know. And amen, Lord. This is great. Demas Shikarian, the man who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's group. But anyway, his grandparents came from Armenia. They lived on the slopes of Mount Ararat. That's the mountain you remember where Noah's Ark came to rest after the flood. And they had been evangelized by Presbyterians. And about once a year, they used to get about 200 or so Russian Orthodox Christians would come down with their carts and horses and come and celebrate with them and have a feast and then go off again and come back the next year. It was lovely to have them. And they'd have a feast. But these Orthodox Christians from Russia had the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they spoke in tongues and talked of miracles and prophesied. And Demas Shikarian's dad was a Presbyterian. None of that tongues lark. None of those miracles. None of this bit bubbly rejoicing stuff. They'd like to see them, but they didn't embrace it at that point. Reading the book, it wasn't until by a prophetic word they escaped the massacre that the Turks brought onto the Armenians. And they managed to get, by a prophetic word, they got to California and the Azusa Street and all that. They were hindered by their religious background. I am so grateful for all that I learnt of the Word of God and how to worship and how to evangelize in the brethren. But as you know my story, I'm not going to go into all of it. You've heard a bit of it. But you know, when I was 17, I'd been up to a missionary meeting and I felt challenged. I spent all night in prayer. And I woke up and I started gobbledygook. Hallelujah. That wasn't allowed in my church. No. Tongues and the gifts, they finished according to the theology of the Brethren Church at that time. They finished with the canonization of the scriptures, the early church. So I quenched it. And church history records that as there is a fresh revelation in the part of the church, they receive that fresh revelation. Say for the Baptist, it was baptism in full in water for the believer, be they young or old, be they immersed in baptism by conversion and baptism. But then, if you like, they stopped and worshipped at baptism. The brethren, they discovered by revelation the priesthood of all believers. We're all priests. And it didn't have to be somebody special. But if you like, they stopped at that. And then the Pentecostals, they discovered tongues. And they stopped at that. And so God's got his church. He wants the whole church to embrace all that he's got. The church is the vehicle of the kingdom. So denominations have been a hindrance. They've been a help in many ways. But they can be a hindrance to moving into the fullness of what God got for us. The scriptures. History shows us that the churches in the Middle East, Ephesus and whatever, didn't die out because of persecution. But one of the major reasons was they didn't have the scriptures in the vernacular. They didn't have the word of God in their language, their heart language. And historians reckon, that's one of the reasons why the church just died out in that Middle East region. Some of you will recall the story I've told before, and I'm going to tell it again. David Du Plessis, he was called Mr. Pentecost. He was a South African born, although he lived in America, but he was South African, David Du Plessis. And he was invited to the Vatican. And when he got there, somebody said, would you pray for me? Because he said, I've never met a Pentecostal before. And he said, well, will you pray for me, Pentecostal? I've never been with so many Catholics before. Monsignors, and there was a gathering in Rome. And they said to him, David, the Holy Father says, what can we do to restore the church and the Holy Spirit in the church? David Du Plessis said, tell the Holy Father, this was in the 60s, 1960s, tell the Holy Father, that's Pope John, tell him to let the people have the scriptures in their native languages, in their vernacular. Because up to that time, some of you will know that the Catholic Church only had the scriptures in Latin, and it had to be interpreted by the priests to the people. Yes, says Pope John. Yes, that's it. Give them the scriptures in their languages. And I remember going to Tanzania in the 70s and meeting up, and Jean used to lead a group of ladies for Bible study. They were Catholic by denomination, and they were all eager with the scriptures now approved by the local bishop, had this stamp on it. They could have it in their language. And of course, there was a great move in the Catholic Church in the 70s as many came to be born again and filled with the Spirit of God. No scriptures is a hindrance to the wholeness that's in Christ Jesus. Lot of love. This church in Ephesus, you know the scripture. Revelation 2, the Apostle John says, this is what God wants to say to the church in Ephesus. I want to tell you, he says, you've lost your first love. God says, you're great in your perseverance, enduring hardships for the name of Jesus. You won't tolerate wicked men. You have not grown tired or weary. Well, but you've lost your first love. Although, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans were a local sect in the church. And they believed that by the grace that's ours spiritually, we can compromise with the world and we can let in other gods and immorality. And he said, you Ephesians, you hated that. But the thing most of all, you've lost your first love. Repent and return before I put the candlestick out. In other words, you as a church, your light's gone out. Let your light shine And it seems one of the most important ingredients for that is love. Then, of course, we can't carry on as the world, the flesh, the devil, you name it. We know how he gets at us. Hindrances to living in the fullness and the wholeness of what God wants for us. Helps to living in the wholeness. Well, of course, the Word of God. I'm old enough to have gone to Sunday school. The best book to read is the Bible. You know what I mean? The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible. That was for kids. But it's a good one, isn't it? Sections of the Word, just a bit of, you know, every day, the Bible. And of course, we got helps for that, haven't we? UCB, this goes out every quarter, but little Bible portions with a commentary, over 6,000 copies in 17 languages, Bible study notes. And of course, there's always the iPad, or there's the a tablet. I don't have many tablets, but this one's a good one. You can get the scriptures on it, can't you? We're so helped, but we've got to read it. It's if you read it every day that it will help you on your way. The best book to read is the Bible. Then, of course, Jean and I, we've got, this is Joyce Meyer this year, we've got Closer to God Each Day, and that's got a little scripture, and then her meditation on that scripture. We've had Heidi Baker and her one on, which stirs you up, the scriptures every day. And there's others. I know you're saying it's all right for you, you're retired. We've got to go to work. I know. You don't have to put it all together. But we do. We find it helpful. Then declarations. There's a declaration, if you want it, in the ladies' lab. I haven't been in there. But I know the ladies from the Our Art class. I say, have you seen the soap in the ladies? Have you seen the soap in the ladies? It's got a declaration on the bottle. It says, believe, I am worthy. Is that correct? It's good to declare what God's word says. So another thing Jean and I do is we make declarations to each other. Nice one. Beside, I love you. And I thought I'd brought it with me. Did I? Yes, I did, probably. But here we are. This is what we read this morning. We've got 100 declarations. They've been put together by Steve and Wendy Buckland. Buckland, is it? Buckland. And we just read just three every morning. Today we read number 37. I am being strengthened with all power according to his might. I have great endurance and patience. We don't read the scripture reference. We have checked up on them. Colossians 1:11. 38. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He gives me power, love and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. God loads me daily with benefits. He is my salvation. We make these declarations of God's word. Lord, help us to believe that which we are declaring. Amen. These are helps to keeping in the wholeness. Declarations, prayer and worship, the secret place. Great, we've got a little prayer room down there. But my times of prayer, it's not only speaking to God, is it? It's talking with God. And I seek to have a life of prayer. That doesn't mean that sort of holy, you know what I mean? But I feel I can talk to him on the bus. I think the most famous prayer for me, I remember, was going down the M4. And a car overtook us at speed. We were doing 70. I don't know how fast it was going. It got about 200 metres in front of us, hit the barrier, spun round, fenders coming off, half the car, coming back towards us, hitting the centre reservation, coming straight for me. Jean. Praying in tongues. And that car defied the laws of gravity and all the other laws, because right in front of me, suddenly it just went, shoom. Prayer changes things. we need to pray, not for the avoidance of accidents, of course, but thank you, Lord, but for everyday things, prayer. We used to pray, didn't we, with the kids, our children, before they went to school, and they'd be at school at 7:15, they were probably irritated, go on, Dad, get on with the reading and the prayer, I don't know, but we used to pray and read together at breakfast time, as a family, keep together as a family, pray together. The family that prays together stays together in worship. I like to put on a CD. I'm not very good. I'm not a musician, but I've got a keyboard and I play out the, you know, He's worthy, Spirit of the Living God, whatever. And I just worship the Lord. Worship. Fellowship. In the Greek, koinonia. When we were at Bible college, I had to look it up to see how many times it occurred and what it meant. I can't remember how many, but at least it went into the double figures. And koinonia, fellowship, means eating together, praying together, having communion together, sick, walking out with the sick, you name it. Fellowship and friendship. We need that. We need it. I'm glad to know that, I know that the guys here, the guys, and maybe the ladies as well, they had breakfast together at Rose's. Some of the fellows have gone all round Rugeley and they prayed for Rugeley. And some of those fellows went for a walk yesterday. A bit more than I do. 17.5 miles. Something like that. Well, they go up the mountains. Friendship. Fellowship together. That strengthens us. That's what we need. But then witness is essential. We need to witness. Do you remember the illustration I've always been given? And that is of the Sea of Galilee. Do you remember? The Sea of Galilee, the waters come in from the mountains into the Sea of Galilee, and then it flows out down the River Jordan. And if ever you've been there, you'd be amazed how that they pour the water off from the River Jordan and put it into the fields. They irrigate all the fields, and it's green and luscious because of it. But then it flows down into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea's got all the nurturing coming in, all the chemicals, but there's no exit. And it becomes dead. We're made to witness. And if we want to be kept fresh and whole, we need to have an outlet. We need to be sharing. We don't have to. How do we do it? Costa Coffee. In the shop. Food bank. Crisis pregnancy counselling. Cutting the neighbour's grass. At work. At play. Wherever. Just being a Christian by the Spirit of God. We need to witness. And then there's the ministry in the church. Keep your love on. Have you been to that? One of the ministries of the church, groups we can get to enable us. Marriage course. Well, the marriage course is, my marriage is all right, thank you. No, it's not just for because your marriage is wrong. It's a marriage course to build you up and to encourage you. Freedom in Christ. Or prayer ministry, sozo. That word just means wholeness. It can mean freedom, healing. And we call it Bethel sozo because it comes out of Bethel Church. And the leader of the church, Bill, he goes for a sozo every year, I think it is. He has to sort of, just for Christians to pray for him to, as it were, wipe off the burdens that come up. To keep ourselves living in the wholeness, prayer for one another, the ministry of the church. But of course, under and around all this, of course, is the Holy Spirit. We need to constantly allow the Holy Spirit to pray for us and to fill us up. We need to keep filled. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. You have everything for you to be, for wholeness. We are complete in Him. Be encouraged. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a saint. You are a son of a living God. You are an heir. You have all things in Christ Jesus. Is that great? Thank you, Lord. We're going to just pray for one another now as we close. Amen? And as we do it, Spirit of the Living God, Fall afresh on me, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me. Break me, mold me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.